I'm honored this morning to introduce, and you already know this person, but introduce what I believe is a world changer who's helping us and partner with us at Crosspoint to see a generation of lives touched in San Diego and wherever else he sends us. And that's Landon Stankiewicz. I want you to welcome Landon this morning. Love you, buddy. Proud of you. If you guys don't know this, it's been 1 year since he came to us. So we celebrate his anniversary at Crosspoint this morning. We honor you, we bless you, we love you. You're awesome, buddy. Ready? Go, man.
All right.
Hey. You can fan your neighbor while I open my computer. There we go. Whew, it's not cold in here, huh? During worship, I got this really cool picture. I felt like, kind of along the lines of what Pastor Barry was saying, that the Lord was just kind of tuning us, like we're getting in tune with what was going on. I felt like a lot of us were trying to like almost like play instruments that were out of tune, and so everything that we were doing was wrong, and every effort that we were making was incorrect towards where we wanted to be. But I feel like the Lord came in and tuned it, and because the Lord came in and tuned it, we were able to move forward. And I feel like a lot of what's happening in the atmosphere today is towards that. So do that what you will. Be blessed. I imagine myself as a stand-up comic when I'm up here, so if you laugh, it makes me very happy. Have you ever been at this breaking point of hunger where you just, all you see is red, you're like a bull? If you, like, you're gonna hurt someone if you don't get food in your body. Anybody been there? Oh, y'all are too Christian, can't admit it. Come on now, we've been there. I think that the latest epidemic in our society is hunger. Honestly, sometimes I want to hurt someone if I can't get a burrito. Don't get in the way of my food. The struggle is real. And you know, you guys can relate, but you're hot and you're not feeling it. It's fine. In the Bible even, there's a dude, a Bible character named Esau, a really hairy guy. I don't know why that's a detail that they share, but he was a really hairy guy. And he was super hungry one time, and his brother was like, hey, you want to give up your birthright for this soup? And he was like, yeah, I'm super hungry. Let me have soup and give away my entire birthright. Like, I think that hunger can drive us to do crazy things that are out of character, right? Hunger can drive us in one of two directions. It can drive us towards what we need to be going after, or it can drive us in a totally opposite direction. Amen? We're chilling? Cool. I really feel as if when we are spiritually hungry, we can do some amazing things. I know that when we first accept Jesus into our lives, like, we're super duper excited and we're on fire and we want to just go, you know, tell everybody in the neighborhood and everyone at school, everyone at work, everyone needs to know what happened in our lives, right? When I was first saved, I was so excited, wanted to tell everyone, wanted to pass out tracts, you know, because that was a thing back then. I'm not that young, okay? Yeah, there we go. And so, a lot of people would tell me, like, oh, like, he's excited now, but it'll pass. And that really frustrated me a lot. Like, why is it that when I get to a certain point, I'm no longer going after God, and I'm no longer hungry, I'm no longer excited about the things of God? I've matured out of the zeal. I feel as if a lifestyle of hunger is sustainable. I think we really need to push into that. That's something I've been wrestling with for the last year. Like, what does it look like to have a lifestyle of hunger for God? Whew. I think sometimes we live paycheck to paycheck spiritually. We're just waiting for the next Sunday, the next meeting, the next song to come out, or whatever it is. We're like, oh God, like, once I get that, it's like your hometown buffet. You just eat, you get real fat, and then you don't eat for a while. That's not sustainable. There's going to be so many highs and so many lows that way. Like, God says in the Bible, Matthew 5, I'm not going to quote all the scriptures I'm going to say, but you can write them down if you want to look at them. It's in the Beatitudes, that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake will be filled. I feel like Jesus is teaching us a principle there, that when we have a need and we have hunger for God, he's going to fill us. He's also telling us that he's not going to run out. He's not going to run out. There's never going to be a point where God's like, oh, got nothing left for you. Sorry, buddy. That's how we act sometimes, though. And it's really silly, but when we say it out loud, we realize, like, oh, like, God actually is for me, and God actually wants me to be filled, and he wants me to be successful in my life. Amen? Cool. What I actually wrote down is, God is not going to dip out on you. That would make him a bad father. We sing the song, God is a good, good father, right? I believe he is a good father. Like, a good dad feeds his kids more than once a week. If I was a dad and I fed my kids once a week, CPS would be on me, right? They know. I think that something that we don't realize is that hunger is actually a gift. We take it for granted sometimes. Like, we were hungry when we first, you know, get into this thing, and we're zealous and all these different things, but we don't realize that that's truly a gift that God's put in our heart. Like, I pray, God, like, let me starve for you. Let me be so hungry that I cannot function without you, Jesus. I can't pump gas without Jesus. We have to invite him into every aspect of our life outside of these walls. Nothing is going to change in your life until we get him outside of this room. Nothing is going to change until we get him outside of that latest worship song that you're feeling. Amen? Ooh, we're so quiet. It's like I'm speaking to the youth. They don't talk to me either. Another aspect of this, I think, and I've been guilty of this, so I'm talking to me, too. I'm on this side, like Craig said a few weeks ago. I love that. I think sometimes we come to the table that God set before us, and our plate's already full. We have received a message. We've received a word. We've received something, and our plate is full, and we've done nothing with it. Like, God provides and fills us up so that we can pour out. If all we're doing is just constantly putting food on our plate and doing nothing with it, we become spiritually obese. It's time to hit the treadmill. Like, you have to think of it like a bucket. Like, you're being filled and you're pouring out. You have to be filled to pour out. You have to pour out to be filled. That's how that works. God also said, what I just said earlier, that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, what will we be? Filled. So, that would indicate to me that I live from a place of overflow. Everywhere that I go, people are impacted by who I am because of who's inside of me. That's you guys too. You guys have the same Jesus, not just me. I'm not the only one. I don't have to go and give someone this profound word or go and pray for them. I can just give them a smile and they're getting my overflow because I'm constantly pouring out and being filled up by God. There's times when I get really frustrated. We've all been there, especially at work. I work at Starbucks, for those who don't know. It's a bad time sometimes. Very bad time. I need some counseling from it. Anyway, and I'll just be there, and I'll be like, I'll just take a moment, take in a deep breath, and be like, God, fill me up. And it sounds so simple, and so just like, oh, that's cliche. No, like, it legit shifts my mood 100%. Because if you're trying to drive your car on empty, your car's not going to go. Like, if you're trying to live your life without being filled with God, how are you going to function? How are you going to do anything? You're just going to be lethargic and you're going to plateau. Amen? There's hope in this, I promise. Yes. I think a lot of times we feel like we've plateaued because we've gotten really, really comfortable. I really enjoyed what you guys were sharing about, like, the air conditioner. Like, as I was like, oh, man, it's so hot. And then I was, like, convicted, and Jesus was like, dude, it's not that hot. It's much worse than other places. Stop having your first world problems. But I think that sometimes we get so comfortable that we settle. And God, Jesus didn't die on the cross and resurrect for you to settle. Let that sink in. He didn't do it so you could settle, so you could just fly under the radar, punch in your ticket to heaven. We're here to be dangerous. My first day of school of ministry, went to school of ministry, by the way, they told me they're going to make me dangerous. And I was like, ooh, sounds exciting. And I feel like every decision that I've made after that has been towards that. I want to live dangerously. I want to wake up and the enemy's like, oh no, the boy's at it again. But that can't come from a place of not being filled. I can't rely on our pastors to be the only people who feed me. I can't rely on this building to be the only place where I get food. Personal responsibility isn't super popular, but it's super important. That's what sets you apart from people who are mediocre. I don't believe that anybody in this room is called to be mediocre. Not at all. I'm convinced that, like, I'm pretty great because of who's inside of me. Thank you, Craig. The confidence that I have is, like, confidence in God. Todd White says Godfidence. I love that. Like, my confidence isn't in me and my ability. If it was in me and my ability, then I would be sitting in the back row in the fetal position not wanting to speak. Because I get nervous in front of people. Yeah. Laugh at me. Oh my goodness. What I think is very cool though, is that we're here and this is where we want to be, and there's this space in the middle, and sometimes we just beat ourselves up for not being where we want to be or knowing where we should be, and we're not there yet. Like, I want to tell you, God's not keeping score, so you shouldn't. There's this word in the Bible, grace, and it blows my mind. If you want to read about grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9, I'm going to paraphrase it. Essentially, it says that he fills in the gaps for us. That encourages me so much because I was keeping score for so long. Like, oh, I was rude to people today at work and I let my temper get the best of me. I suck. If I continue in telling myself that I suck, then I literally am going to be the worst, because what we focus on, we make room for. Our words are creating worlds. Everything that comes out of your mouth, you need to be very cautious of what you're saying. Like, speak life. I have a leader at my work that I don't agree with, but the Lord has been whipping me every time that I want to badmouth this person. And I'm like, you know what? Jesus, I don't know how you love him, but you do. Like, there's been people where I can't seem to love them, and my strategy is like, hey God, like, what's your favorite thing about this person? And it makes it really hard to dislike someone very strongly when you see them how God sees them. But if we are not filled with God, we can never even be in that mindset. Like, this is such a basic topic, and I would love to have come to you with something super revelatory, but I think that God's like, hey, let me be the comforter for you. Stop being so comfortable. Stop letting our American culture, like, make us like WALL-E. If y'all haven't seen WALL-E, y'all are sad, okay? There we go. I think some of us, if we looked at ourselves spiritually, we're just just letting things happen to us. It's time to take charge of your life. I don't care how young or how old you are. Like, it's time to be assertive and not passive with the way that you're leading your life. Like, there's people outside of these walls that need you. Like, your dreams aren't for you. They're for others. And so everything that you do and the decisions that you make outside of here are affecting the people around you. And it could be for the positive or for the negative. And that's not to put more weight or pressure on you when you're not here, because what I said, grace. Grace is so helpful. Like, God is so good, honestly. I don't even know. I feel like we don't even know what love is. It's just... Yeah, I do want to know what love is. I feel like grace blows my mind. And I don't want to speak the grace message because it's something that we can start to take advantage of. Like, that's not our goal. It's like, oh, you know, God forgave me, it's cool, I'm just going to keep screwing up over and over and over and over and over and have no remorse. Like, no, this is the way we have to look at it. It's relationship, amen? Cool, we're alive. I want to protect God's heart. I'm not going to lie because that hurts God's heart. If Jordan doesn't like Star Wars, which he does, I'm not going to be like, hey, Jordan, let's go watch the new Star Wars, because that wouldn't be something that he would enjoy, right? I want to protect his heart in a sense. And I think that that's how we have to start looking at our relationship with God. I'm choosing to not do this. I can do whatever I want. I can go and rob the store across the street if I want to. I can. I have the ability, but I'm choosing not to because of the relationship that I'm in. I'm protecting the heart of God. Amen? When we look at it that way, it gives us so much more power than this list of things that we can't do. Oh, I can't do that anymore. I can't do this anymore because I'm pursuing God. Like, no, 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 I'm choosing not to do these things. You have free will. You're not slipping out of chains and slipping to more chains. That's religion. This is relationship. There's so much freedom. I feel there's like so much freedom in the room right now. And I feel like the Lord, like there's just things that are happening in our spirits that we don't even realize. And I truly believe that no one is going to walk out the same way that they walked in. And I declare that. Hunger. I think that something that can help drive our hunger is community. I think it's really important to have community in order to have sustainable hunger. That's why we have church. Church is not people singing on a stage, people standing there looking at them and someone speaking and us saying amen two or three times with no air conditioner. My thought process behind church is like, I get to be with my family and hang out with them. And I'm sometimes so encouraged by just conversations that I have with people. The messages are wonderful and we bring it here 100%. But I feel like sometimes we wait for the message to open up our hearts to what God's saying, when someone might have an encouraging word for us and we're just like, oh no, I gotta get to worship. I gotta get to the message. I gotta get to this. Like, no, like, we're here to sharpen each other. When was the last time that we came into church with the mindset of, what am I going to bring to this service? I don't want to be this person that's hooking up to an IV when I get here because I've had such a hard week and I've had nothing that sustained me all week and I just need to be here. If we're constantly being filled from God, we're living from overflow and we're bringing something to these services. Every single week at youth, they probably hate it, but I say right after them praying for them to figure out what their role is in the service. Because I believe no matter if you hold a microphone or you don't hold a microphone, you have a role and there's a reason why you're here. God doesn't just do things by accident. He's like, oh, Craig's here today. I'm like, no. Like, everything has purpose, I believe, and every single one of us has purpose, and it's time to start living that way, living missional. That's what's really helped me at work, because I cannot stand working at Starbucks, right? But I'm going in there missionally. How am I setting the tone for my life when I'm there? And I don't always get it right, but grace. All the situations that you guys are feeling really hopeless in right now, God's releasing hope to you. Just let that happen. So some really important parts of what I'm saying. So stay hungry. don't get too cool for God. Don't get so caught up in theology and all finding these revelatory things or having these intense encounters that you forget that, like, God is provider and God is the one that fills you up. I don't ever want to know all this, like, systematic stuff and not even know the heart of God. Our prayer should be that our heart is up against his chest and it's like, what are you doing, God? What are you doing in my life? We don't move unless you move. Like Jesus said in the Bible, like, I do what I see the Father is doing. Like, what if we live that way? What if we stopped trying to find things wrong with us? And just whatever God was putting his finger on is what we addressed. Because there's grace in that. If I'm trying to find, this is what I did when I was in school ministry. I was like super hyped. I was like, yeah, I'm super Christian now. And then I would try to find something wrong with me every week. Like, okay, I'm doing this wrong. I'm doing that wrong. Let's fix it. Let's fix that. And God's like, dude, I'm not even worried about that. I'm more worried about you just actually speaking to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, it's crazy how we choose to sit on the judgment seat when God's on the mercy seat. Like, God's not even on the judgment seat. It's all under the blood. It's all taken care of. Amen? Allow God to fill you up. God, not Pastor Barry, not whomever's podcast you're listening to. Allow God to fill you up. There's something that's so important about personal time with Jesus. Like, it's so life-giving. Like, this is extremely important. It's not one or the other. It's and. We need both of these things. We need to do this. Make the time. My time is in my car on my way to work because Lord knows I need it. I've been listening to my podcast. Jesus, help me get through this happy hour. Also, don't be afraid to give it away. It's given to us freely, so we give it away freely. Like, learn to listen and not talk so much. That's something that I've been trying to do. Listen to what other people have to say. Make them feel loved. Embody love. So good what you guys said. So good. Being God's love for people, not just telling them about it. Like, our world doesn't need another definition of the gospel. It needs a demonstration. Are we going to demonstrate? Are we going to pour out? Are we going to give it all away? Because there's something about being so desperate for God. It's just another level. And it doesn't make you weak because you're super desperate for God. It's like, God, I need you. I can't function without you, God. And it's this really amazing place when we're so dependent on God. And we're not dependent on our own strengths. In the Bible, it also says that, like, when we're weak, he's made strong. And if I'm honest, in a lot of areas of my life, I haven't allowed God to be strong for me. And I've been frustrated. And then as soon as I relinquish that, God's like, it's cool, I got you. He takes care of me. Like, there's things that we're holding on to that we were never created to carry. And, like, Jesus died on the cross to take those things and to give all of him to you. That's what covenant is. If I have debt and I get married, my wife's got my debt, and that sucks. Right? In a sense, we have a debt. And when we are married to Christ in covenant, all of my debts transferred to him, and all of his victory is transferred to me. So much happens at the point of salvation, and we just need to walk in it. Amen? Cool. Give yourself grace. Don't be so hard on yourself. This is a process. Like, you're not going to arrive. There's not going to be a day you wake up and it's like, oh, I have it all figured out. You could be a million years old still figuring it out. I bet you Methuselah, he didn't know what was going on. I don't even know how old that dude was. 900 maybe. Super old. He probably didn't have it all figured out. Like, it's a process. It's a relationship. We're not trying to get somewhere. We're trying to know someone. Huh. That's good. That was a good one. I didn't write that. Thank you, Jesus. Lastly, we need to utilize community. Community is so important. Isolation, whew, she bad. We don't want that. When you're isolated, you're closed off to everybody around you and all these outside voices, and you're left to your own thoughts. And that can be such a dangerous thing. Like, if there's no voices that you trust in your life, I encourage you to find people that you trust in your life. We need to trust people. We need to stop having boundaries, which are actually walls, and keeping people out who God's put in our life. I thank God that I got sent here. Sent. Crazy. I am so glad I was naive to what I was doing by leaving every single person that I've ever known to come here and at the time be with strangers. But it taught me to push myself into community, and that each one of you guys is in my life for a reason. Like, I wasn't created to be an island. Like, I was created to be almost like a puzzle. Like, I'm a piece of the puzzle. Like, we're a piece of the body of Christ. Like, every single person that is in your life is there for a reason. So push yourself towards that. Obviously, use wisdom. Please use wisdom, because that could be bad. But yeah.